Shall we go in?
The people began pushing their way into the great assembly hall. Fires burned in the trough that bisected the vast room. Columns of blue smoke curled upward among the heavy support beams and escaped through holes in the roof. Shields and banners, emblazoned with the emblem of noted clans, hung in rows from the overhead beams. Along each side of the hall stood tiers of benches that quickly filled with spectators and clansmen. At the center of the big room, on a raised dais, was a throne intricately carved of dark wood. The chair was occupied by a heavy-set bearded man wrapped in colored silks with a bleached doeskin mantle thrown over his shoulders. A golden circlet confined his massive curly red hair. This was Connor, a man of vast lands, wisdom, and much respect, a fact that led him to be chosen king of Era. Cain ducked his head to him deferentially as he entered, as the man was his liege and lord. But because the king was a drinking companion too, he also flashed him a sly smile. Connor's lips twitched ever so slightly beneath his beard in acknowledgement. When the hall was filled, King Connor raised his hand, bringing the assembly to order.
In the name of Bav, in the name of Kallak, in the name of Ogma, I pray for wisdom and success for this gathering. May the gods smile on the peacemakers. Father Padraig.
Thank you, Your Majesty. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and Mary, Queen of Heaven, I bless this gathering and pray also for the wisdom, peace, and brotherhood to grace us all. Amen.
Cain noted how Yoki McCarrick glared at the monk impatiently. A druid priestess entered, carrying a large pot from which colored smoke billowed. As she made a purifying circuit of the hall, she made gestures that Cain could not understand, but he knew them to be sorcery. With the opening ceremonies completed, Connor stood.
I am gratified to learn that there have been no active hostilities among the clans in more than a year. All of Era can take pride in this fact. Let us keep this in mind during the talks. Yoki McCarrick, you may present the case of your people.
The Firbolg stood and came forward, swaggering a little as he swept the crowd with his eyes.
I am Yoki McCarrick of the Firbolgs. You know who my people are.
You are well known to us. The stories of your raids on the Britons have long been an entertainment to us. None of us would deny we hold great respect for your bravery.
Erk's thin lips creased in a preening, prideful smile.
However, you called down the wrath of the Britons, not just against your folk, but all of us here. You jeopardized trade agreements and court war. No longer can we permit your people's raiders to launch their attacks from our shores. Do you understand?
I am not an idiot, Your Majesty.
Perhaps not. Just greedy. But if your people and mine are to reach terms, the first thing you must do is to put aside your weapons and cease the raids.
I will think on it.
Unacceptable. We must have your agreement now, or the talks will go no farther.
Erk fairly trembled in rage, a crimson flush spreading over his weathered face.
If I give you my word, swear an oath, then will you allow my people to retain their lands on the coast?
Cain rose to his feet in a rush.
Those lands were stolen from their rightful owners. Shall we allow thieves to hold on to the spoils of robbery?
Connor favored him with a disapproving glance.
You forget our procedure, Cuchulainn. The time to hear your words regarding an agreement will come.
We can reach no agreement until the Danann emissary arrives.
And when will that be? The Tuatha De Danann are not even human, so therefore their meddling in our affairs is arrogant presumption.
Cain glared at the Firbolg and strode toward Erk.
Not even human? Look who's talking!
Erk spun around toward him, hand reaching for the pommel of a sword that was no longer there. For an instant, he seemed completely baffled. Erk lunged toward him, arms swinging wide. Easily evading the man's lunge, Cain gut-punched him hard. His fist sank into flab like a finger jabbed into wet peat. The Firbolg doubled over, clutching at his midsection, but he managed to stay on his feet. Connor rose from his chair.
Cuchulainn, enough!
Before guards could reach him, Cain snatched the leather skullcap from Erk's head.
Who is human and who is not, Your Majesty?
Yoki McCarrick's head was bald. The long braid of hair was attached to the inside of his cap. Sprouting from his naked scalp were small cartilaginous masses like claws with spongy surfaces, or horns. Throwing the skullcap to the ground, Cain locked eyes with Connor.
The Furbolgs are no more human than the Danann. Less, because they were spawned as a race of slaves to serve their Atlantean overlords. They are mixtures, more beast than man, the spawn of Belial. They were driven from our shores once by the Danann, who were sickened by their depredations against our people. Would we now welcome them back to live and intermarry among us?
He gestured toward Balor, a contemptuous wave of a hand.
Some of us here don't find that necessarily repugnant. I can't help but wonder why.
Balor rose from his bench, rising to his full, formidable height. His one eye pierced Cain with an invisible lance of hatred.
The Danann are relics of our past. Most of them are long, long gone. It is the future with which we must concern ourselves, not age and enmities and wars that occurred when our grandfathers were mere babies. Cuchulainn has been bewitched. He's under a geasa, placed upon him by that lion Temptress, that whore Fand. He is her puppet, and his words are meaningless.
Red rage filled Cain, sweeping aside all caution, all concern for the due process of the Council of the Clans. He felt himself gripped in his infamous berserker fury, the battle madness that had earned him the title of Terrible Champion of Era. Hands outstretched for Balor's thick throat, he leaped.
Graphic audio, a movie in your mind.